Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the Ten Commandments are divided into two parts. The first part of the law is the first four commandments, which focus on our relationship with God, while the second part is the other six commandments, which deals with our relationship with other people. This order is essential. Obedience to the first four commandments expresses our love for God. The obedience to the other six commandments shows our love for our neighbor. If we fail to pay enough attention to the first four commandments, then we have no basis to pay attention to the other six commandments. It is because we are responsible to God that we show a genuine concern for the spiritual needs of our neighbor. Let me put it another way. Whenever we break any other commandment, we always break the first commandment. Because the first commandment cuts through all the others. We simultaneously break the first commandment whenever we break one commandment. The first commandment is very straightforward. You shall have no other gods before me. This commandment became the first for a reason: to have a right relationship with God, you must first acknowledge that there is a God, and secondly, that God is and should be first in our lives. The greatest struggle that God's people Israel faced was the challenge of idolatry. When you read the Old Testament, you repeatedly see their hearts turning away from God to other focuses to be their gods. It was a challenge not only to the Israelites in the Old Testament, but also to all generations. In a word, idolatry abounds, and idolatry has always been a great challenge for God's people at every age. Therefore, it remains a standing challenge for Christians, for us today. So let us now ponder God's holy and inspired word in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, and learn what the first commandment means to us. Therefore, I preach to you this afternoon under this theme: the demand of the first commandment. And under this theme, we have 2 points to share. At the first point, not following God in any way. A second place, but only serving the Lord alone in all the ways. Now the first point, not worshiping God in any way. Our text says, you shall have no other gods before me. Know the two pronoun words of this commandment, you and me. And these two pronouns cannot be expressed adequately except as communication from one person to another. Yes, God was indeed speaking to Moses, but also to more than 1 million Israelites. At that time, the pronoun you should be looked at as a singular pronoun in this case. This command is more than a group effort, and this is a direct command to each individual covenant children. God was speaking to each Israelite then, and now to you and to me, his covenant people, in any age, of any age. So this command is an intensely personal command from God to you, from God to me, as if by name. First, take a closer look at the first part of this commandment. You shall have no other gods. But the question is, does the first command assume the existence of other gods? Do they exist or not? Well, you can say they exist, or you can say they do not exist. They do not exist as the living and true God, but they do exist through human imagination and inventions. They exist through idolatry, which is when people place their trust in anything other than or in addition to our one true God. As Heidelberg Catechism, Christian Answer 95 says, however, it would be unwise to think that these gods do not have power or strength. We see time and time again, the human-made idols in various forms have really influence over people because the dirty hand of the devil is behind these idols and idolatry. So when God says, you shall have no other gods, he is saying, you yourself shall not possess, you shall not pursue, you shall not love, and you shall not worship other gods, idols. He's telling you that his position, rank, and glory as God is unique. He's not making room for other gods in the universe. He's simply declaring that he is one true God who created the universe and the heavens and the earth and everything in them. He is the only God for you personally. Now let's have a look at the second part of this commandment before you. The literal meaning of the phrase before me or in front of me means to take a priority in the list of things, such as the letter A comes from the letter B. It can also refer to someone's presence when they are physically in front of you. Therefore, when God says, you shall have no other gods before me, he not only forbids us to have possess or seek, desire, love, or worship any idols, but also forbids you to have any other form of affection, any other passion, any other loyalty, any other power to appear between himself and his redeemed ones. Your eyes are to be fixed only on his face, and not on the faces of other idols. Before me. These two words are an essential part of this commandment and refers to priority and presence. Since God is a jealous God, he will not tolerate any other gods competing with him in any way in the lives of his people. We may sum up the requirements of this commandment. Not only you must have a God, but also you must have only one God, and your God must be the God of the Bible. And this God must come first in your life. In so commanding, by this first commandment, God condemns all forms of gods, false teachings, and beliefs against the scripture, such as atheism, pluralism, evolutionism, humanism, liberal Christianity, syncretism, and so on. Let's now examine each of these above forms gods. The first one, atheism. Atheism believes that there is no God, because the atheist cannot prove the existence of God by some scientific formula, and they just cannot believe in the existence of God. They then do not accept the revelation of God as the only way for man to know God. But the author of the Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." The second one, pluralism, believes that many different gods and belief system in the world have equal value and validity. It includes the acceptance of pantheism, the belief that there is a God in all things and that everything is a God, which means you are God, I'm a God, and the church over there is God. To polytheism, that worship many gods, pluralism has a relativism as its starting point. Relativists believe that there is no truth, and therefore pluralism accepts different beliefs because no absolute truth exists. And consequently, it doesn't matter what you think, or who you believe in, or how you worship. If you do not claim to be the only truth of the only God, pluralists argue that all religions run to the same destination. We just give different means to that destination and road. It may be heaven through Buddha or Allah, or we may call him the great architect of the universe or the great mother goddess of the earth. However, according to the Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, just after Moses reiterated the Ten Commandments to the Israelites outside the borders of the promised land of Canaan, God proclaimed to his people one of the decisive words of the Old Testament revelation. Through Moses, God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one." So God is one God, not no God, as atheists will tell, nor if he many gods, as pluralists will say. The third one, evolutionism. Evolutionism is a belief that man evolved from monkeys through coincidental events. Evolutionary creationism is slightly different. It is a belief in God-guided evolution. So some evolutionary creationists accept the scientific consensus on the age of the earth, the Big Bang, the evolution and even believe that man is evolved from monkeys with God's involvement. However, according to Genesis chapter 1, we know that God, man, and earth are created by God from nothing. The fourth one is humanism, which is compatible with atheism, does not believe in God. Humanism believes that man is a supreme being in the world, and through knowledge, science, and technology, he himself can determine his destiny. The humanists seem determined to trying to live apart from God. It is like holding your breath to prove you do not need air. The fifth one, liberal Christianity, or we call it Christian modernism. Christian modernism believes that Christian doctrine should consider modern knowledge, science, and ethics, and emphasize the importance of reason and experience over the authority of a doctrine. Liberal Christianity borrows language from the Bible using appropriate titles for God, but changing the biblical explanation of the nature of God, the ways of God, and the glory of God. Liberal Christianity tries to make God over into our image, to make God more accessible and less intrusive. If God's portrayal of the pulpit is not precisely how God is described in the Bible, then this is indeed a false God. It is not a new idol, but has been in every age of man, and is present in churches today. Apostle Paul emphasizes this point at the beginning of the book of Romans. When he speaks of man exchanging the glory of immortal God for the likeness of mortal man. The sixth, the last one, syncretism. Syncretism believes that we can worship the Lord and another gods at the same time. However, Jesus says no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And the Lord also says in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. When God commands us, you shall have no other God before me, he does not mean that he must be first in the sorting. He does not mean that we can have many gods as long as he is on the top of the list. He does not mean that you can have as many gods or goddesses outside as you want, as long as you occasionally into his temple and worship him. When the Lord says, you shall have no other gods before me, he is now saying that he must be on the top of our list, but that he is the only one on our list. God will not allow anyone or anything that rival his glory. God is a jealous God. When you hear, you shall have no other gods before me, you may say, I have never knelt before an image of Buddha, nor have I prayed to Allah. I've never set up a family shrine or worship it. However, brothers and sisters, idolatry is an ongoing problem for you, for all of us. In fact, the great struggle we Christians have is one of loyalty to God. We want to be Christian while being at peace with the godless world and culture around us. We want to simultaneously say that we are on the God's side, and we are also on the world side, with a heavy influence of a syncretism. On the one hand, we may go to church regularly and participate in various church activities, such as Bible study and committee meetings. But on the other hand, we may be in a strong pursuit of many different gods, such as false gods of materialism, sex, alcohol, partying, ambition, fame, popularity, greed, fashion, entertainment, technology, video game, and the list can go on and on. We quickly become absorbed with and consequently worship our man-centered gods. All these things can become God's rival. We need to understand that anything that controls us and makes us addicted is God of our life. Martin Luther said, "The thing to which your heart clings and depends on is your God. Anything that can dominate any part of our lives is a God. If it can come before your relationship with the Lord, it is your God. If you want to know what the real God in your life is, look at where and how you spend your time, where you spend your money, and into what you put your heart. The real indicators of who is the God in your life are these three things: your time, your money, and your heart's desire. The three things is indicators of who your God is. Brothers and sisters, if you seriously examine the first commandment, you will find that it is causing us to see that we are indeed idolaters. And this brings us to the last point: only serving the Lord alone in all the ways. We know that the intent of this commandment is not just negative and prohibitive, it also has a positive dimension. Negatively, I'm to avoid and flee all idolatry, witchcraft, superstitions, as our Heidelberg Catechism summarizes. There must not be anything in life that can compete with God for the first place in our hearts and our lives. Then what is the positive side? It is, as our catechism summarizes, the commandment requires that you readily come to know the only true God, trust in Him alone, submit to Him with all humility and patience, accept all good from Him only, and love, fear, and honor Him with all our heart. Here is the other side. This commandment requires our wholeheartedness, single-mindedness, faithfulness, service, love, devotion, and worship to the one true God. For He is God, He is our only true God. As Isaiah chapter 45 verse 18 says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heaven, he is God, who formed the earth and made it, he established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other." Serving the Lord alone always means you must make a choice that excludes all other possibilities. It is what Joshua commanded Israelites after the conquest of Canaan. He says to them in chapter 24, from verse 24 to 15, and Joshua said to them, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of Amorites in those land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we serve the Lord." Having no other gods before the Lord is a definite choice of decisive action, a decisive way of life. This choice is not a one-time act, but a constant act of life. As John warns us, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." So this first commandment is a daily activity for us. Every day, we are to decide every day that there is no other gods before the one true God we know through the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of each day, ask yourself, "Was Jesus Christ my Lord today? Did I serve him faithfully today? Did I love him deeply? Did I worship him exclusively?" The real disaster, brothers and sisters, of following gods was that their presence would distract you from seeing the glory of God. It's a glory that God saved us in Jesus Christ, renewing us by his Spirit, preserving us by his providence. Not only that, but also the real disaster of following gods in danger of very salvation, as Catechism warns us. Why? Because when we follow as gods, we turn away from Yahweh, the only true God who loves, has redeemed us in Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, as the recipient of the Ten Commandments, the covenant people of the Lord, we must make the first commandments and the other nine the subject of our daily meditation, so that we may only honor, worship, and praise God alone. Since God is the best of good and promises that he will be our God, he should be desired, loved, rejoiced in, and chosen alone by us. Since he is the God of truth, the true God, we should believe everything he says, especially what he reveals in his promises and threats concerning the favors he will grant or the judgment he will inflict if we break the first commandments. He can save to the uttermost and fulfill all his promises faithfully. And we should believe in him and in all that we receive and hope to receive from him. When God's name, interest, and glory are opposed in the world, we are to express a holy zeal for it. Since he is a God who hears his people's prayer, we are to call upon him every day and only call upon his name. Since he is the God of all our fears, we praise him alone. His sovereignty, dominion over us require our obedience and submission only to him and constantly attention to pleasing him alone and conforming ourselves to him in all things. Since he is a holy, jealous, and sin-hating God, we are to be filled with sorrow in our hearts when he is offended by our transgressions of the first commandment or any one of the other nine commandments. Awareness of our spiritual nature and daily weakness should motivate us, drive us to walk humbly with God, serving him only out of gratitude from our heart and out of awe for the requirement of the first commandments. Brothers and sisters, the law of God, the first commandment, is personal, forbidden, punishable. It's a commandment from a personal God to an individual you. It forbids you to allow anything or anyone to take a more important place in your life than he does. The penalty for violating his divine command, this heavenly decree, this divine obligation is eternal death. Now ask yourself whether you are keeping this commandment or breaking it. Is God first in your life? Have you always feared him in your life, treating him with more honor and respect than you do anyone or anything else? The answer, of course, is no. The only solution to your sin of idolatry is Christ. Christ is the only one who has kept the first commandment perfectly and never served and worshipped any other gods. Christ is the only one who has loved God with all his heart and with all his soul. Christ is the only one who has never put earthly affections on anyone or anything above his love for his heavenly Father. So remember what God did. Your sins, including your sins of idolatry, are transferred to Christ. And the righteousness of Christ, including his love for the Father, is transferred to you. So it is as if you have never sinned against idolatry. So it is as if you have loved God completely above all things. If you are not truly converted to the one true God, you will never be get rid of idols. Even if you are born and baptized in a Reformed church. Unless you are born of the Spirit of God and have a new life, all your efforts will be in vain. Your new life begins when you come to Jesus Christ. Until then, you just exist. The first commandment says, put God first, and then you'll find life. Church Father Augustine said, it well. Our heart are made for you, O God, and we cannot find rest unless we come to you to rest. The first commandment says, put God first, and you will find rest. The first step in life is to take the first commandment seriously. And the first step of the first commandment is to consider your life, considering the cross of Christ. Embrace the cross. Put Christ in the center of your life. Acknowledge him as the Lord and Savior. There are other 9 commandments, but they will not do you any good unless you remember that Jesus is first in your life. Remember, brothers and sisters, your gods are the ones you love, seek, worship, serve, and allow to control you. Only the God who reveals himself to you through Jesus Christ is your one true God. Amen.